getting you healthy, happy, and doing what you love. You're listening to Tonic Podcast, the podcast of Dr. Tanya Winchester. Dr. Tanya is a licensed naturopathic doctor, acupuncturist, body talk practitioner, and edutainer with a passion for helping reduce pain and suffering and bringing more love, joy, and health into your life and into the world. The natural medicines and therapies mentioned in this podcast are not intended as medical advice or as a substitute for seeking medical attention. For more information about Dr. Tanya Winchester, visit Dr. Tanya, T-O-N-I-A, Winchester.com. This is Farah, and I'm here with Dr. Tanya Winchester to talk today about healthy skin.
You betcha.
So tell us a little bit about how naturopathic medicine understands the skin as an organ.
Sure. I'm going to start with just what the skin is and what it does for us, and then I can talk about how naturopathic medicine would see it. So the skin is actually our largest organ in the body. It covers obviously our entire surface, and it is a place where we exchange information from the outside world. We'll actually be talking a little bit more about that in our next podcast. But the skin does things like it grows hair for us, it sweats for us, which is part of how we detox and cleanse. It prevents us from getting exposed to organisms that may be in the environment or actually living right on our skin. And from a naturopathic perspective, the skin is a barrier. It's a place of exchange. And in Chinese medicine, we actually see the skin as an extension of the lungs and also the large intestine. So that is very interesting to me. And when a baby is in mom's belly, what actually happens is the clump of cells that we all start as, it ends up creating this sort of hollow sphere, which then sort of sinks in on itself. So the outside becomes the inside. And that's why we have this connection between the skin and the gut and the lungs. So it's very interesting to track people with, for example, asthma. We can often link back through their medical history and see that things started with actually some recurrent ear infections, and the child was prescribed antibiotics. And then we start to see skin reactions happen, and then the child often is prescribed steroid creams, which make the symptoms go away but haven't really dealt with the underlying problem. And then we start to see lung conditions emerge, as an example, asthma. And so it's interesting for us to kind of track back and see this very consistent pattern and how connected these organs are.
Mm-hmm. So speaking about the connection between the skin and the gut, is that one area that's really important to get in order and get organized in terms of addressing skin issues?
Yes, it is the first thing that I need to do as a naturopathic doctor if someone comes into my office with a skin issue. Even though it seems like it's happening on the outside, more often than not, it's an inside problem. So whether that's a nutrient deficiency, whether that is an inflammatory reaction because of an offensive food, whether that's a gut disorder like Crohn's or colitis, there are so many different, or even irritable bowel syndrome, IBS, there are so many different ways that if the gut isn't functioning well, the skin is not going to be functioning well.
And are there different skin conditions that correlate to different gut conditions?
I would say that in general, we just need to heal the gut, and that so that the umbrella of gut issues can cover the umbrella of skin issues.
Mm-hmm. And what are some of the ways that you heal the gut? Is it through the foods that we eat? Is it eliminating certain foods? Is it adding herbs to or medicines to our diet?
Yes to all. So certainly one of the first things that we're going to look at is if there's any food reactivities. And that could be an allergy, it could be a sensitivity, and it could be an intolerance. And the difference between the three things I just mentioned. An allergy is mediated by the immune system. So we have things called antibodies, which help us fight invaders, viruses, bacteria, parasites, yeast organisms. And the immune system creates these antibodies, and basically it mounts a response. So if it contacts the food allergen or the food protein, it makes this antibody against the protein, and then we can start to see symptoms other places besides just the gut, for example, the skin. So when we are eating food allergies, we might develop something called leaky gut, which is when we would actually start to see these symptoms kind of filter out into other body parts. And then a sensitivity is when we just don't react well with the food. It's not a mediated, it's not an immune mediated response. But for whatever reason, the body just doesn't do well with that food. And then the third, as an intolerance, is when we actually don't have the machinery to break down that food. So we can think of the very classic example of a lactose intolerance. The person doesn't have the sugar, doesn't have the enzyme lactase to break down the sugar in the dairy, which is lactose. And so then we start to see kind of inflammatory conditions because of that intolerance.
And are there diagnostic tools to actually measure which of the response is going on?
Absolutely. So if we go to the first example, the immune-mediated antibody type of reaction, we can do a blood test. And there's two main types of ways we would react to food with two different types of antibodies. If we're going to get quite technical, why not? The first is an IgE-mediated immune response, and this is the immediate response. So if you know someone with a peanut allergy or a shellfish allergy, this is the immediate, you know, hivey, throat closing, constriction of the lungs, and that is the immediate IgE. And that can be measured in the blood. And then the IgG, which is also mediated by the immune system, but it isn't something that's immediate. This type of reactivity can take up to 3 to 5 days to express itself as a symptom. So it gets really tricky to go back in through the diet diary and say, well, was it the tomato? Was it the milk? Was it the oats that I ate? Because it could have been something days ago that is causing that problem. So a blood test can measure that as well. In terms of the intolerance, there are ways that we can measure, say, a lactose intolerance. The sensitivity gets a bit more tricky, and that's when we get a little bit more sort of energetic in our approach, and I do something called muscle testing, which we just do in the office here, and I basically ask the system a question: is it a priority to avoid this food? And the muscle strength will change according to the answer, and I can give us a pretty good roadmap about where to start.
Mm-hmm. So that's the connection between skin and gut. What's the connection between skin and, for example, skin as a tactile sense and touch? How important is touch to the skin and the health of the skin?
Yeah, I think touch is important, but I think touch actually has a bigger impact on the nervous system and creating a relaxation response, which of course then enhances immunity, which would then feed back and support the skin. So there's a lot of good data around how when we bond, when we touch, we create oxytocin, which will lower cortisol levels in the body. And when we lower cortisol, we can actually have a functioning immune system. A lot of the stuff going on in the skin is a reflection of the immune system, which actually takes us right back to the gut again, because the majority of our immune system is in the gut. You know, we have our microbiome, the probiotics that we hear all about. Those are our first line defenses to prevent infection or to prevent the wrong things from getting into our body in our gut. So again, when there's, you know, immune issues, we have to go back to the digestive system.
Mm-hmm. Now, I've been hearing about this new term, prebiotics. What is prebiotics and how is it different from probiotics?
Right. So the probiotic, it's pro-life. That's what bio means, right? Pro-life. And so these are the organisms that are actually colonizing in the digestive system. And there are thousands of different types and trillions and trillions of different bugs that live in and on our bodies. So 3 to 5 pounds of organisms are making up our body weight, if you can think. So that stubborn last 5 pounds, maybe you don't want to actually lose it. The health promoting bacteria. So the probiotic is just the bacteria. Again, tons of different types. The prebiotic is the food that the probiotics will eat. So typically that's some sort of fiber. And if you're eating a veggie-rich, plant-based diet, you're getting tons of prebiotics.
Mm-hmm. So what about external things that we put on the skin? I mean, cosmetics and cleaning detergents and how we, you know, the things that we touch externally. How important is that to skin health?
Yes, everyone is going to have a different threshold of what they can tolerate. I'm a person who does not have any tolerance for any kind of chemical on my skin. So I'm actually going to be writing a blog article about this coming up, about all the products I use that I've found that are actually okay, because I am super sensitive and have been my entire life. Working in a kitchen was terrible. I had, you know, it was, yeah. So certainly the chemicals, the perfumes that we're in contact with. You know, the cosmetic industry is one of the most toxic industries that we are exposed to. So it's actually kind of counterproductive, because you think you're trying to put healthy things on your body, but they're actually full of garbage, right? So the other component of that is 65% of the things that we put on our skin gets absorbed. So if you think, oh, I'm just putting it on my skin, it's no big deal, that those chemicals are actually getting inside your body and might be disrupting functions on an internal level.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So it's really important to take stock of what things we might be exposed to through our skin in terms of cleaning agents and cosmetics.
Yes, 100%. Yeah, you're breathing it in, you're putting it on your skin, it's getting inside the body.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I know there's a lot of information out there about doing a cleanse as a way to get healthy, radiant skin.
Right.
So how important is detoxification and liver health and these detox diets to
healthy skin? Yes, this is a really good question. The skin is, we don't think about it like this, but the skin is actually in the category of organs in the body that help us eliminate. So obviously the large intestine, you know, the urinary bladder would be top of mind for most people, but also then our kidneys, our liver, our gallbladder, our lymphatic system, the lungs, and also the skin. So these are all the organs that we use to get rid of stuff. Some of the stuff is just natural waste produced by our body, and then some of the stuff is all of the 50,000 chemicals that are being emitted per day, you know, that our bodies are exposed to now in our modern world. So the skin, when it's showing us symptoms, it's often that the body is using the skin as a route of detoxification instead of the proper channels of the gut, going back to that. And very commonly when people have skin issues like eczema, as an example, there is a constipation type picture that we can track in the history. So again, we come back to the gut. A healthy functioning gut is the basis for everything. And skin is an interesting organ to treat, because it can be a reflection of anything going wrong in the body. It can be a toxic issue. It can be a nutrient deficiency issue. It can be an infection. It can be an inflammatory issue. It can be a stress issue. So we have to really kind of play detective and figure out what the factors are. And with that in mind, it's also interesting because it can be multifactorial. So another personal example for me, if I have one of those IgE immediate type reactions to dust. If I touch dust, I will get a rash immediately if I don't wash it off. And if that rash is able to take hold, like I don't have enough time or I don't get to wash it off, I will not be able to eat eggs for about 3 months. So the dust is the initiator and then the eggs become the perpetuator. And I found this pattern, you know, over just kind of self-exploration over many years, that is a consistent theme for me.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes we need to actually explore two different, is there something topical? Is there something that you're ingesting?
Mm-hmm. So it could be that what seems to be the thing that's causing the problem, which in your case might be eggs for a while, is not actually the root of the problem. It's actually something much earlier on that was you were exposed to.
Yeah, so in that case, the dust becomes the initiating factor, and then the eggs are the thing that are keeping the rash going.
So would you say that food sensitivities can also indicate that there might be too much that the body is dealing with, that it becomes a little more reactive to more foods?
Yeah, we can go back to the idea of the bucket overflowing and, you know, our bodies being this empty bucket. And as we go through life, stuff collects into our bucket. In the show notes, I will link to the article that describes this. But eventually then the bucket overflows because it can't manage everything that it's being exposed to.
Mm-hmm. How important is breathing to the skin?
Yes, so important, because the lungs are connected to the skin, like we talked about at the beginning. Breathing is vital. I don't mean that as a pun. Like, it's it's vital for the health of the skin, and it's often part of my prescription for people, that taking deep breaths will actually start to cleanse the skin. Mm-hmm. And we'll talk a little bit more about that in the next podcast.
Mm-hmm. And lastly, what can you tell from how we poop? Like, can you tell a lot of information from what comes out the other end?
Yes.
I mean, in addition to what appears on the skin.
Right, absolutely. And I always joke that my favorite topic is poo, because it tells me so much information. But if your stools are runny, that could mean something. If they're really bound and constipated and hard, more pellety, that tells us something. If there's mucus in the stool, that tells us something. So I'm always, again, because the digestive system is so key when we're looking at skin health, I'm always digging in and often making people quite uncomfortable the first time I meet them, because I'm getting all of the juicy details of their stools.
Uh-huh. And can we get a little bit into that? So what are some things that you can tell if things are...
Right. Okay. So say if there is mucus in the stool, for example, that can indicate inflammation in the gut. If there's inflammation in the gut, most likely we're dealing with some kind of allergy. If, say, they've got diarrhea, well, we would need to figure out the source of the diarrhea, but that means they're not absorbing the right amount of nutrients. So say if they're constipated, most commonly that means that they're not drinking enough water. And so that's another important kind of flush for the skin. When I was a teenager, well, all throughout childhood and into my teenagehood, covered in eczema, by the time I got to university and I was dancing at a very high level, I needed to be drinking a ton of water. And that alone sort of repaired my skin, was getting the right amount of water into my body, which I hadn't ever done before.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very powerful, and we overlook it because it seems so simple. But water's another place, as we're talking about toxins, that you have to be very careful, because in our drinking water, if you're in a city and drinking tap water, then, you know, there's hundreds of different medications that are in different toxins again in drinking water. So all of these factors play a role. It's deeper than just the level of the skin.
Yes, obviously. And there's so much information that you've given. Is there, maybe as we end this podcast, is there one or two things that people can easily do that can help them nourish their skin?
Yes, and I think the breathing is a big one. So deep breathing into the belly. And we've talked about this before, the beautiful combination of stillness and rest, right? So deep breathing is the stillness. And sweating is a great detoxification strategy as well. So exercise, so that we've got the stillness and stillness and movement, I should have said it earlier, sorry. And so that's two. And then lastly, the water piece, right? So three simple things that you can do on your own that will make a big difference for your health of your skin.
And there you have it, three things: breathe, move and sweat.
Yeah.
And drink lots of water.
You got it.
Thank you so much.
Oh, you're so welcome.
You've been listening to Tonic Podcast, the podcast of Dr. Tanya Winchester, getting you healthy, happy, and doing what you love. The natural medicines and therapies mentioned in this podcast are not intended as medical advice or as a substitute for seeking medical attention. For any health concern, it's always best to make an appointment to see a licensed medical practitioner. For more articles and blog posts, visit Dr. Tanya, T-O-N-I-A, Winchester.com, or visit us in beautiful Nanaimo, BC at Tonic Naturopathic Clinic. Have a delightful day.